What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your more pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today's June 2nd, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I want to mention, I apologize that you have not had a podcast here since Thursday of last week. Let me explain. There weren't many games on Thursday, and I actually was out of town for a lovely wedding, and I had to leave pretty early on Friday. With everything kind of messed up, with my internet being out for all of Friday, I had to put priority on the roundup and streamers, and considering that there were only, 10 starts on Thursday, I felt okay that I made that the last one, so I apologize for that, and I'm looking forward to being back with you now on the regular schedule. Now, Taj Bradley was the lead in this one. 7 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts, and 18 whiffs across 104 pitches. I, of course, don't really buy it. And you shouldn't be surprised because it's Taj Bradley, a man who's not had consistent command for a while. I know he also just went well in his previous outing, too. And his fastball was really good. He did go the Cannibal McSanchez. He did have 16 curveballs, and we've actually really only seen like cutters and splitters and four seamers from Taj Bradley. It's kind of like the old one before the splitter showed up. It was cutter and fastball and curve. But I don't buy this. You know, I feel that Taj Bradley's going to have this moment. It's going to be nice. And then it's going to be a hipster situation once again. You can't be hipster if you don't have anything that makes him around on your team. So that's this. The good news is that he gets the Marlins next. And sure, you know what? It's two good starts from Taj Bradley. Keep going there. Fine. But don't really think of this as your big pickup of the year. Gavin Williams, though. He's against the Angels. 6.2 innings of 0 earned runs, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. This is so funny to me. Because the cutter, once again, is real. 28% usage, 79% strike rate, 45% CSW. And he earned 7 over 29 whiffs on it as well. What have I said about the cutter? Why has that become such an important pitch for him? Because he needed a second strike pitch, right? Implying that the four-seamer was the strike pitch. But what we have seen is the four-seamer act terribly like a child throwing a tantrum at the store. It's like, dude, come on, man. You don't need to act like this. Because that four-seamer had a 43% strike rate. Oh my gosh. Also, the curve and sweeper, you would think them would say, okay, fine, we need something else in the cutter, right? No. 54% strikes, really between the two. Only 4 whiffs on him. But he had this amazing game. Why? Because that cutter is just that good. And what's wild to me is that he's performing this well without him having the other things. It's almost like, you finally have the guy in school who can do the class project, so you're not going to go and work as hard. Thanks, four-seamer. Look, I'm excited about this because Gavin is clearly finding out that, oh, this cutter is really good. It could be a scenario with the Yankees back in the day where they added a cutter, but then it messed up the four-seamer. A little bit, we saw that with Colt a little bit back in the day. I don't really think that's the scenario here. This is just a weird moment with Gavin not having that four-seamer command. And the fact that the cutter is this big of a deal, oh, I should just get you so excited. Ace them is so close with Gavin. I know we're not actually going to really get to Ace is going to ace, I'm sure, with them, but still, I'm so excited about this. Charlie Morton against the White Sox. He got a King Cole, 37% CSW with 6.2 innings of 0 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. Yeah, blame it on the White Sox, fine. But it's nice to see the curveball actually doing well. 10 whiffs on 42 thrown. That's lovely. He goes into Sacre Verde next. I don't really want to do that. So I'm not really going to lean in on Charlie Morton here. I don't really think you want to go after that. He'll be a questionable start. And I'm happy to see the curveball down the zone and changeups underneath. But yeah, this isn't really the scenario that I want for Charlie Morton. Or at least he's not really the pickup I want to make. Hunter Brown, it's so funny. Like, look, 6 innings of 0 runs and 1 hit, getting a win. I could just stop there if you want, but I have to mention 4 walks, 5 strikeouts. This was a game where he had 41% usage on his four-seamer. We've talked about this. Hunter Brown, that's his best pitch, right? That's clearly it. And he also had the sinker at 28% usage. These are the strike pitches. These are the ones that really dictate the whole appearance. He had 42% strikes on the four-seamer. Think about that. 42%. He missed arm side dramatically, not just with that four-seamer. It was a 54% strike rate on the sinker as it went too far inside of right-handers. What? So how did he figure this one out? Yeah, he had the curveball mostly to lefties, and he was able to get out of some jams in play on this generated by those poor fastballs, get out of like really not really jams, more of just laborious at bats. It is so weird. He also pretty much just went three pitches, two of those with those low strike fastballs and then the curve. And yeah, he had some changeups, he had some cutters, but there wasn't even a slider. He didn't even throw one, but it was great. So I guess I don't care. Like, I'm just going to keep starting him, but it's just another element to this mysterious performance of Hunter Brown to me. It's just so weird. It's so crazy. It's like he's throwing these really bad ones and finally throws a good one, and I guess that's good enough. And he gets out of it, but oh my gosh, okay. Luis Castillo against the Twins. I was really down on Luis Castillo about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I still am, but he has done things to be better, and it might be just a classic tale of Luis Castillo being better in warm weather and cold. 6 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks here against the Twins. This was a little bit different, though. The slider had a 55% CSW, yeah, under 60% strikes, but 9 over 29 whiffs. He kept the pitch down. This changeup was actually down, but it was just 1 out of 9 strikes. They did not go after that. Those lefties were like, yeah, we don't care about that changeup. It's fine. The four-seamer was generally upstairs. He got 8 whiffs on that in near 96 miles per hour. You know, I guess I should be giving Castillo more love because the slider did show up again here. It hadn't been before. I still feel kind of strange about those fastballs, but the velocity at least is like 96. Remember, it used to at times be like 97, even 98. But 96, we will take with it. It's just all strange. Maybe this was just because he was in Seattle. This was a good one. I just want to be cautious a little with Luis Castillo as it doesn't feel like the old guy. But then again, like 19 whiffs. Again, 8 on the four-seamer, 9 on the slider will do that. Keydear Montero against the Royals, 4.2 innings of 0 runs, blah, blah, blah. You don't want to do this. Just don't do Keydear Montero. Okay, this was even against the Royals. Not very good. Chris Paddock. Oh, boy. Opposite Luis Castillo. Phenomenal outing. 8 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. And honestly, after the last one, I wasn't so interested. I mean, he had been doing really well since that first very bad start. And he's pretty much just done exceptional things since. 17 whiffs and 32% CSW. 110 pitches, too. It's pretty cool. But against Cleveland, Chris Paddock, against a left-handed lineup, you should think Cleveland Guardians, oh yeah, if they can, they'll throw all these lefties. It's just like Astros, if they can, they'll throw all of these righties, you know? And the Guardians, they will adapt to right-handers against lefties, but yeah, Paddock's a right-hander. I expected left-handers, we got them. And in that start, it was fastballs and changeups, but changes, and they didn't do that well. It's kind of interesting, right? That's his forte. That's the thing that he should excel at the most, and he didn't really do that well. The biggest weakness has been the number three pitch. What is it, the curve? Is it the slider? And they've been very susceptible to damage or just not being enough strikes. So this one for Chris Paddock, yeah, he got more right-handers a bit here. And the slider, 5 for 17 whiffs with a 41% CSW as it added more cut. That is 87, 88 instead of about 85, 86. With less vertical movement and slightly less horizontal movement. That worked. So, okay. That's pretty cool. The changeup wasn't actually very good. It was a 52% strike rate with that one. We also had a really good four-seamer performance at a 74% strike rate and a 33% CSW. There are some curveballs in here, too. We had 60% curves. At 60% strikes with 15 curves, I should say. This could be a better version of him. The tighter cutter version is actually the one I remember when he first came up, and I really liked it. And I prefer that. Just give me that strike pitch there. Save the split change, even against right-handers. That can all work for Chris Paddock. This was at the tee. It is interesting to see the Jays and Rangers and Reds next, and I think, honestly, you just keep rolling with it. I don't love the start against the Blue Jays, but the Rangers have been really bad. The Reds, even in Great American Ballpark, should still be favorable. The whole package seems to me like he's good, but not quite overwhelming, and it's very precarious, essentially. But he's essentially proven himself to be at least a Toby, if not a low-end Holly at this point. And I'm certainly going to be raising up Chris Paddock in my rankings today as I do the list, which, by the way, I do every single Monday, and it's going to be live. I'm going to be doing it at 1 p.m. Eastern time today. And during that, I Let's just save it for tomorrow. Let's save it Tuesday morning here at Pitcher List. I am going to be giving away the final number of codes for MLB.TV. So make sure you tune in. Get some free MLB.TV codes. It's going to be great. All right. You have Garrett Crochet, ace is going to ace. 7 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 12 strikeouts. Got the win. I've been saying a lot of things about sell, Garrett Crochet, meaning just make a lateral deal and get yourself out of the potential harm's way of the extension being lower on the four-seamer that we checked actually during the live stream this morning. Impacted the cutter getting fewer whiffs overall. But he actually did pretty good here. 6.9 feet of extension. Not like 6.8, 6.7 as we've seen. We saw him like 7.1, but really 7.2 a lot last year too. That's really the thing I was going for. We saw more of the 7.1, if I remember correctly, when he was more limited and not really going as hard as he can for those four innings. I still am like a little weirded out by it. But yeah, I recognize Garrett Crochet is like, what, SP5 right now? He's above DeGrom. He's going to be above DeGrom today. So it's been amazing. It's been great. Love it. Everything's cool. You have Chris Bubich also kind of looking like an ace because 7 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 9 strikeouts, 18 whiffs here against Detroit. The four-seamer was killing it upstairs. The sweeper and slider are both effective to right-handers and left-handers. Changeup at a 71% strike rate with 6 over 17 whiffs. I mean, that's great. He even had a 42% CSW sinker in this. Chris Bubich is just kind of fun, man. 7 feet of extension, 17 inches of vertical break, 1.1 height adjusted VAA on that four-seamer. And now it's at 93. The reliever velocity we saw last year, not the 91, 92 that we have seen at times as a starter. Yeah, Chris Bubich is really getting close to that ace is going to ace tag. And it feels weird to say that. But yeah, I mean, he's been that good. Jacob DeGrom, ace is going to ace for the most part against the Cardinals. And 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 3 walks, just 4 Ks, which is kind of weird, but it's really just because the 4-seamer wasn't as pristine command-wise, which we have seen a little bit this year at 96, 97. It is honestly strange, but the fact that our PLV projections has each of these pitches returning and expected at least 33% CSW is just like, yeah, okay, fine. That includes the changeup and the curve. So like, yeah, he's still absurdly good. All right, we have other guys to talk about. Ranger Suarez, Ryan Yarbrough, oh my gosh, Hayden Birdsong, and many others. And we'll talk about all of them after this break. Ranger Suarez against the Brewers. 6 innings, 1 run, 7 hits, 0 walks, and just 2 strikeouts. The sinker velocity was 89.9. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to call it 90, which is about a tick and a half off from the 91, 92 that we see. The 4-seamer at least was closer than 91, or at least at 91, I think, and above. But we did see the command we want. Cutters were in on righties. The changeups were down and away. The curveball was down and away. The sinker was there too. It was great. We're happy with this. I'm thinking about Jose Quintana for the curveball, by the way. Changeups and sinkers were down and away. This is the Ranger Suarez that we got excited about last year. And I was like, all right, this is a nice rhythm, but like it might not stick through a whole year. Really, the only thing was injury last year, but still, even when he came back, it wasn't the same. Just roll with this as long as possible until we really see that command go away for 2 starts. That's it. You get the Pirates next, you should have a great time with Ranger Suarez. Ryan Yarbrough against the Dodgers. Gold star. Because what on earth is this? This is unbelievable. 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks for the Fratty Pirate. What? Yeah, the cutter came over the plate upstairs and the sweeper 7 for 22 whiffs, the sinker 36% CSW. I wrote the Yankees in New York. I'm an idiot. The Red Sox again in New York. So he gets the Red Sox on the road and then they host them in New York. He is a Vargas rule, I guess, but this isn't going to last. It can't. This is like such found money for the Yankees. I can't express that enough. They're like, oh my gosh, we got this working out right now. Okay. Yeah. If you want to try it, go ahead. It's the Red Sox on the in Yankee Stadium, and then it's in Fenway. Reverse that or not, you understand what I'm getting at. Okay. Sure. Hayden Birdsong against the Miami Marlins. What amazing podcast, by the way. Oh my gosh. You know I'm better than this usually. And also, you should leave a rating or review. If you haven't done it already, it goes so far for us. I can't express this enough. do it on the main podcast, the Fantasy Pitchless Fantasy Baseball one, and also with the individual Plus Pitch podcast feed. It really does amazing stuff for us to help us get sponsorships. Also consider doing it on Spotify as well. I appreciate you guys a ton for leaving those ratings and reviews. Hayden Birdsong against the Marlins did great. 5.1 innings, 100 run, 5 hits, 0 walks, 5 Ks. There are a lot of times I'll keep saying the things that bother me, and they do well, and I'm not saying for you to not move forward with Hayden Birdsong. He'll get the Rockies next in Coors. I'm going to do that. He'll get the Guardians, and then at Oracle Park. We're good with that. He does get Atlanta before Coors, I should say. I'm sorry about that. I think I'm going to not do it. I don't like facing Atlanta, especially with Acuna on that team. And I think that his chaos will not be appreciated by his fandom in that game. They'll take advantage of it. But at the same time, this was a 70% strike rate four-seamer and 76% strikes for the slider. He didn't get the slider down, though. It was just over the plate. But the four-seamer, 19 inches of vert, and that's really cool. So it is interesting. And I think that Hayden Birdsong still doesn't surgically take down batters enough for me to get really amped about it. Corbin Burnes against the Nationals. Well, he left this game saying pretty much his elbow is done, and we expect him to get Tommy John now, and this stinks. So it does put Ryan Nelson in the rotation, and that would mean the Reds in Cincinnati next time out. I'm kind of in for that, but it will get the Padres and Blue Jays after that if he is following right in Corbin Burnes' footsteps, and it would make sense considering that Ryan Nelson went the day before this one. So I think that this would make sense to add Ryan Nelson in your 15-teamers, 12-teamers. I don't know if I really have to go after it right now. I love his four-seamer, but I don't love the lack of number two pitch that's reliable. Also, the four-seamer command needs to be a little bit better. I do see a future of Ryan Nelson finding something, then all of a sudden, bam, he's just really good. So if you need that, go for it. Jameson Taillon against the Reds, it was the Reds carpet, and that's great. He only had two strikeouts, though, in this two earned run in six-plus innings of production, because he only had 1 over 18 whiffs on that sweep with a 56% strike rate. He just didn't really command well against righties, but he commanded well with the Lake Sound blueprint of four-seamers up and change-ups down to lefties. That was cool. Eric Fetty went against the Rangers. 6 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts. The sweeper was not effective. 4 for 16 strikes. Koufax certainly helped out with the 7 of those pitches in play. On those 11 called strikes as well with a sinker, and he got away with it a little bit. The Rangers aren't very good. I'll just put it that way. They just aren't very good. He's a Toby, and he gets the Dodgers next. So you don't hold on to Eric Fetty. You might want to be back for the Brewers and the Reds after that. Andrew Heaney against the Padres, 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. I almost gave him a gold star, but then, of course, Yarbrough did his thing, as we didn't have any expectation of this working out. And honestly, like, I'm not seeing enough here that suggests that Andrew Heaney is back into that rhythm. I think this is just really Koufax helping him out for a little bit as the fellow lefty. J.P. Sears had 3 really bad starts in a row, and here you go against the Jays. 5 innings, 207 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. He will take this. I don't know if we will for our fantasy teams. It's kind of a dusty donut of a good ERA, I guess 3.6, and a 140 whip with just 3 strikeouts and no win or anything like that. I'm just not going to jump in on this. I've always wanted Sears to be really good with a really flat attack angle in that four-seamer. He did go in the upper half with that here and go mostly secondaries and everything else down. But it needs an extra little bit of overpowering, right? You need to be able to put that fastball where you need to and then have a really big, significant whiff pitch underneath that really gets them scared. And he doesn't quite have that. Jose Quintana had a still ill here against the Phillies. And 5 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 3 Ks is honestly amazing considering the circumstance. Phillies, still ill, Jose Quintana. The command was great. Changeup and curveball nailed it down and away. We had 11 over 37 called strikes as well. The Phillies just didn't capitalize on that sinker. And he didn't really go upstairs. I think it was 2 four-seamers that he included in this one. Sometimes we do see those four-seamers upstairs as kind of a 2-strike offering or something to just kind of balance the scale a bit. I would not start him against the Padres, but it does look like Jose Quintana is a decent 15-team ad moving forward. Clay Holmes finally got to 7 innings, and it took Rocky Road to do that. Oh my gosh. But 2 home runs made this a 300-run game, so you're not really that happy. But 3 hits and 0 walks and 3 Ks, so you got your win, you got a low whip. That's really what you got. Because you don't want three earned runs in seven innings. If I do my math correctly, it's what, 3.67 ERA? No, a little bit worse than that. I can't do math right now in my head. Long story short, yeah, Clay Holmes is Clay Holmes. You know, four-seamer had just 31% strikes on 13 thrown. He is who he is. Good situation. He is that low-end Holly. You have Adrian Hauser, who is a good 15-team add, and I can't believe I'm saying that, but it's kind of the case because he went against Baltimore 6.1 innings with 300 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. Slightly better than a very poor quality start. This is just really cool. I mean, he's throwing 95 on the 4-seamer with good extension and not 93 that we saw before. And the sinker is actually carrying him at the moment. There's 13 4-seamers in this one. The changeup is placed down and out of the zone. In the zone, I should say. And the curveball converted to a lot of outs in this one. But really, having that higher velocity sinker with good extension is what's making it work decently well for Adrian Hauser and getting him through these games. Yeah, the Baltimore isn't very good. Yeah, this still isn't a productive outing for your 12-teamers. But just take note that Adrian Hauser isn't just a complete absolutely not for your 15-teamers. You could stream him. He gets the Royals next. That actually might be a good stream. Just going to let you know that. Bryce Elder against the Red Sox in Atlanta. 5.1 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. We have Elder all over the place with his sinker and fastball. As I have a cat with me, by the way, for watching this live. I don't know if you guys can see that. That you can't. That's fine. But sorry for any meows that you hear. You have Elder kind of having a plan of four-seamers going upstairs and sliders into left-handers and down to right-handers. But generally, the expectation, so the execution wasn't very good. Only 42% strikes on 41% sinkers is also just really bad. He does get the Giants in Rocky Road. But this also came against a bad Red Sox lineup. So I don't know. I don't really want to do that even in 12-teamers. Maybe 15-teamers, fine, but like I just feel you can chase something different. You might get a cheap win or something. Mitchell Parker had an interesting one. 5 innings, 300 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts against the Arizona Diamondbacks. I didn't expect anything here. And he went 4-seamer heavy 76% of the time. It wasn't a bad decision because everything else was not good. And he had 13 balls in play on, and 12 of them went for outs, which is wild. With anything else helping him with that four-seamer, which he did keep in the upper half, and he has good extension on that and a decent amount of 18 inches here, everything else just isn't helping him. And I'm just really annoyed by it because if Mitchell Parker had a good changeup, if he had used his slider, which he just didn't, maybe something else could have been different here for actually a productive outing. And now he does get the Rangers and Marlins and Rocky Road. Oh, Mitchell Parker, are you now a 15-team ad? Are you actually, did you figure something out to locate those four-seamers better? Because if you did, that's really, really cool. And hopefully something else will be added to make you worthwhile. Kevin Gausman, my gosh, is the list curse. Because I was so excited last week seeing double-digit splitter whiffs for 2 straight starts. And I said, he's back. And 4.2 innings, 300 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. But here's the thing. He still is back. It was 10 over 49 splitter whiffs. That's over a 20%. Barely, but it's over 20% swing strikes. That's good. The problem, four-seamer command was just not there. It really just was not there at all. And the splitter had a 55% strike rate. So the four-seamer was just well over the plate. Not like inside a lot as we see to right-handers. And it was just hittable. So that is annoying. That shouldn't be the case moving forward. And I think that this is a much better version of Gausman. So don't let this derail you. I'm still very much in on him moving forward. Ryan Weathers had a bit of a disappointing start. 6 innings, 4 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 7 strikeouts. 94 on the 4-seamer. Just kidding. 97.4 on the 4-seamer. 18 inches of vertical break, high strike rate. Everything's cool there. Changeup had 9 over 27 whiffs. Sweeper and the slider were not dominant. And honestly, I feel like this one just didn't line up for him. That's how it goes. He lost a few batters. But yeah, Ryan Weathers is dope and makes us feel dope. Carson Palmquist, 4.2 innings, 4 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts. He's kind of interesting if he weren't on the Rockies, but yeah, no. I mean, he's on the Rockies. He had 8 strikeouts. That's pretty cool. And the Mets attacked his fastball or just decided not to. They had 10 over 48 called strikes allowed on that 4-seamer, but then crushed it for 2 home runs. So you have a high CSW rate of 31% for Palmquist, 4-seamer, and a 77% strike rate, but then nothing else helped. So Yeah, we don't go after Carson Palmquist. I know you see the 8 strikeouts, but like, you can't go after this. Jack Hanowitz is the jack of one trade, and he went 6 for 39 whiffs, which is kind of interesting. But the changeup and slider didn't produce well with just a 24% CSW. The breaking ball, that slider, 39% strikes. You can't really do that. Bad game here, 3.2 innings of 4 runs. 8 base runners, 4 Ks. It's just at some point, I feel like he's going to have that. And then eventually things would be cool. Yoshinobu Yamamoto against the Yankees. Just, he had a bad game against the Yankees. That's going to happen. A bad splitter to Ben Rice went over the fence. And only 41% strikes on that splitter is going to make this a bad one. So we keep moving on. Whatever. Nothing too concerning. Randy Vasquez went against the Pirates. You need some help from Koufax. He didn't get help from Koufax. And it didn't go well. That's it. He had the full toolkit kind of there, and just it wasn't effective enough because it isn't that good. And I just don't want to go after Randy Vasquez. And Nick Martinez got the Cubs, and we didn't want to stream him there because it's the Cubs. And now he gets the Diamondbacks and the Tigers. Yeah, you don't really want that. Maybe you'll return after it. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. Thank you for Cashew the Cat for joining me today. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.